But all things that John spake of this man were true. The subject from this text is a true prophet of the true Savior. And we want to consider John the Baptist as a faithful witness preacher of the Word of God. I think you'll agree tonight that a false prophet can do untold harm. And there are two false prophets that came to my mind as I thought on this. The first one was Jim Jones of Indiana in the USA. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and today on our program we have a few hymns, 10,000 Hallelujahs, Rejoice Emmanuel. We also have a word on the ministry of John the Baptist. Firstly, let's read a little of the birth of the Lord Jesus here in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own country. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. What a wonderful record we have here in the Bible, the Word of God, of that birth in Bethlehem, and how it was determined by God through Caesar's decree that the record would be made of Mary and Joseph's visit and the birth of the Christ in Bethlehem. It couldn't have been better arranged so that the birth would be recorded. When we come to the gospel, of course, we deal with facts, not myth, but those things that are certain and sure. And I trust today that it, we minister the Lord's word, that you will rejoice, not just that we come to another Christmas season, but that the Christ of God is come to save his people from their sins. Stay tuned with us through the program today as we turn now to our hymn.
In wonder at the sight, the angels look to heaven to receive the Lord's command. Then 10,000 hallelujahs.
On Friday morning, I was faced with the challenge of what to preach at this meeting here tonight, because I also have a message to preach on Tuesday evening, and I wanted to get a little bit ahead, and I wanted to have that word that the Lord would guide me. I was reading John chapter 10, and of course, you and I know John chapter 10 very well, the chapter of the Good Shepherd. But as I came to the end of the chapter, it was, that's it. That's the text. That's the word for the meeting here tonight. And it's verse 41. Many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. The subject from this text is a true prophet of the true Savior. And we want to consider John the Baptist as a faithful witness preacher of the Word of God. I think you'll agree tonight that a false prophet can do untold harm. And there are two false prophets that came to my mind as I thought on this. The first one was Jim Jones of Indiana in the USA, who in 1978 led his congregation to British Guyana, just in the north tip of South America, and there near Georgetown, he practiced leading his congregation to commit mass suicide. And I say practiced. They did rehearsals on this. He wanted to prove their loyalty, that they would actually take the poison and commit suicide. And so eventually, on that date that he chose, there were 918 people who committed suicide on that religious colony. Jim Jones was cynical of everything Western. He favored Cuba, he favored Russia. He was what they called an intentional communist. And he wanted to get away from all the influences of the West and have total manipulative powers over his people. Now, his phony and his disastrous leadership rocked the world. It was the largest total death count before 9/11 in the USA of USA citizens. And so it really rocked the religious world. And it sent shockwaves of questions of what is this religion, and indeed, what is all religion. The second false prophet that came to mind is one who has done great harm in more recent times, and that is Harold Camping, the founder of Family Bible Radio. And he, in 2011, indeed some years prior to that, began to set dates for the return of the Lord. And firstly, he said that the Lord would return in 2011 on the date May 21st. And then when that wasn't fulfilled, he revised it to October 21st. And it caused great havoc. There were those who bunkered down, sold out, and they waited this great return of the Lord. And of course, when it didn't come to pass, even though there had been millions, and the assessment is that there were $5 million spent on advertising that to predict and warn people about this return of the Lord on October 21st, and then when it didn't happen, well, it was just shame, and it was disaster. The American Atheist Society alleged after that the Bible was only mythology. And of course, Harold Campion, he had his own formula, and he said he used various methods out of biblical interpretation to discover the date that the Lord Jesus had predicted he would come. And of course, this is unconventional, it is unbiblical, and it is an absolute no-no, because the Lord has told us that no man knoweth the day nor the hour of the Lord's return. And so you can see the importance that if you claim to be God's prophet, you better get it right, or you're going to do untold harm. Well, what about John the Baptist? Here in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 41, we have the verdict of the people. And I want you to note that many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And this is after the Lord's baptism, after his temptation, after much of his ministry, and after many miracles. It began to click with the people, and they thought back to the ministry of John. Now, John had a very short ministry, and as you know, he went to prison very quickly, and it wasn't long until he lost his head because of his opposition to Herod and his marriage and all of that. But the people did not forget the ministry of John. And this is after John 2, where the Lord Jesus performed the miracle of turning the water into wine. After chapter 3, where he taught Nicodemus that you must be born again. After chapter 4, where he said to the woman at the well that he would give her water of life. After chapter 5, where he claimed his equality with God the Father. After chapter 6, where he fed the 5,000 and claimed that he was the bread of life. After chapter 7, where he was teaching in the temple. Chapter 8, where he forgave the woman taken in adultery and announced, "I am the light of the world." And then chapter 9, where he raised or healed the young man born blind. And after this outstanding ministry of miracles of our Lord, the people began to get it. Everything that John the Baptist said about this coming Christ is true, absolutely true. And so we learn here the value and the good that John the Baptist did as he prepared the way of the Lord. And mind you, these were the people that were right there. These were the people that saw things with their own eyes, heard the Lord with their own ears, came to their own convictions, and resorted to the Lord saying, "Everything John said about you, Lord, is true, absolutely true." And John's ministry was a tremendous preparation for the ministry of the Lord. And that is the kind of ministry that we need. Now, I know that I have brought a sermon just recently, a couple of weeks ago, on John the Baptist and us learning from him. But when I came to John 10:41 and I saw these words, "The words of the people, all things that this man spake of the, or John spake of this man, were true." I think there are things here tonight that we need to come to, that we might be equipped to serve the Lord in our day. And the first thing I want you to notice here is the focus of John's ministry was true. The focus of his ministry was true. I want you to see firstly in this verse, now look at the text yourself. I want you to see what John the Baptist did not focus upon. And it says in this little text, John did no miracle. No miracle. He did not feed thousands with bread as Jesus did. He never started a kitchen handout to feed the poor. He never claimed to have revelations from God, although he was a prophet, and he was one of the greatest of the prophets. He did not claim to hear voices from heaven or have some inner light beyond the scriptures. He never cast out a demon. He did not enter into the arena of taking on the devil and demons. He never raised anyone from the dead or restored someone's eyesight. He never healed. He never had a ministry of healing. He was a preacher. He preached the word. He did no miracle. And that little clause, "he did no miracle," tells me a whole lot about the ministry of John the Baptist. Now we need to see what he did focus on. He did not go in for the miracle ministry, but he did focus on the Lord Jesus. What did it say here in the text? John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man, his ministry was Christ. His ministry was the Savior, the Son of God. And of course, he was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And in the time, the short ministry that he had, his work was to educate, inform, call the people, to prepare themselves for the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And so the continual theme, the continual message of John was the name, the work of the Lord Jesus, and he was never ashamed of that name. I think there's lessons here for us tonight. I think that we need to be cautioned and guided. We are not called to a ministry of miracles. A ministry of miracles is not necessary to be an effective witness for the Savior. Nor should we be put in a corner and say we are some kind of inferior because we do no miracles, that we don't have a ministry of healing. Although we do pray for the sick and we pray for the infirmed and we pray for God to work, we pray as a congregation, but we don't have apostles and prophets who claim to have this miracle of healing. And that is not a defect in the church. That is not a weakness in the church. Because here is the greatest of the prophets, and he never did those things. His focus was always on the Lord Jesus. Now, we've already learned that John did not preach his own name. We have looked at John chapter 1 where he said, I am not the light, but Jesus is the true light. And he went out of his way over and over again to call men, don't look to me, look to Christ. He is the true light. And of course, many did. Many believed. And John's ministry was very effective and very powerful. If you look at verse 42, you will see there, and many believed on him there. Many believed on him there. And that was, how shall I put this, to a great extent, due to the faithful ministry of John the Baptist. If John the Baptist had been a phony, if he had been a Jim Jones, if he had been a false prophet preaching things that were crazy, confusing the minds of the people, and then came along Jesus, it would have been confusion. But because of John's faithful ministry, many believed on him there. And if only we could learn this thoroughly. Our great work in the ministry is to spread the true knowledge of who Jesus is. We've got to preach him and preach him and preach him again in all the aspects of the power and ministry of the Lord Jesus. You see, our Christology, that is the study of Christ, must be the bedrock of everything we do as a church, in our evangelism, in our outreach, and everything we do. And we cannot advance true religion. We cannot advance the gospel until we get our message on Christ accurate, balanced, and the emphasis focused upon the Lord. Now that's the great challenge that we have in this day of fads and gimmicks and things that people want to run after. But just as it says, wise men seek him. And if we're going to be wise Christians, we must keep our focus on the ministry, the man, the purpose, and the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus. And so that's the focus of John's ministry. I want us to move on now to the scope of John's ministry. Did you notice in verse 41 that John the Apostle, who wrote this gospel, he says, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Now, in ministry, some things get in this life get overstated. In travel books, if you ever read travel journals, you will see things that are totally exaggerated. And writers are paid to come up with copy that will lure the reader into wanting to travel to the white sandy beaches of Mexico or to some paradise island where the coconuts will drop down on you and it's just a heavenly place to be. And they speak of the heavenly hotels and the wonders of it all. And all of these things, they are to lure the reader to take that trip, spend the money, and of course it's the name of the game. An exaggeration, hyperbole, they blow it out of proportion. It's all meant to impress. Well, John the Baptist never overstated a thing about the Lord Jesus, because these people concluded, all things that John spake of this man are true. Everything that John preached about the Lord. Now, I want to go over some of these things, and I've got four of them in mind, and I want you to follow me through these four things. First of all, the Lord's deity, his kingdom, his redemption, and his mercy to sinners. John covered all of those areas of the Lord Jesus. Now, in his deity, John learned this in his mother's womb. And you remember how when Mary entered the home of Elizabeth, how the John the Baptist, the babe in Elizabeth's womb, leaped with joy? And John the Baptist, by the inspiration of God, right in his mother's womb, knew that this was the mighty presence of the Lord. And of course, Elizabeth spoke that this was the mother of her Lord, and Elizabeth knew the deity of the Lord Jesus, and that's no doubt where John also knew the preeminence and the superiority of the Lord. And that's why he said in John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease, that he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. That was all true. John was not overstating. He was not exaggerating. The might, the deity, the godhood of Christ was real. And when these people saw the ministry of the Lord in real terms, they themselves said, John was right. He was not exaggerating. He gave us the truth because Jesus is God in the flesh.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Ian Gallagher. I trust the Lord has already ministered to your heart, that you'll stay tuned with us for our final hymn, Rejoice Emmanuel, and of course, all the announcements concerning our church ministry here. We would love to have you along for our Christmas Eve service. That's at 7 p.m. here at our church, 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Look at our website for all the information. May the Lord bless you in these closing moments. want to sincerely thank you for joining with us on the program again today. And as we come up to the Christmas celebrations and as we worship the Lord who has come into this world, we want to invite you to join with us. This coming Sunday is Christmas Day, and we will be having our two main services, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We do invite you to come and join with us as we worship the Lord, preach His Word, and fellowship with God's saints. And so we look forward to having you with us. This, of course, is the last Sunday of 2016, and we invite our radio listeners and friends to come and let us rehearse the goodness of the Lord in His blessings and mercies to us. And so I look forward to seeing you here in our church on Sunday at 10:30 and 6 p.m. For those who just can't make it, well, feel free to join us on our webcast by computer. If you go to our website at 10:30 and 6 p.m., you can join us live and you'll be able to view and hear the messages of God's Word. And so I trust you'll join in. The website address is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And I trust that you will find that helpful. You'll have a map there of our location, church information, times of services, and various resources that are available. From our house to yours, from our hearts to yours, we wish you every blessing at this Christmas season. And we trust that not only through this year, but in the year to come, that the Lord will wonderfully bless you richly.